Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting again with Dr. Jim Jones, private investor, becoming a regular guest on our show. You can also follow Dr. Jim Jones over at CEO.ca. Now, Dr. Jones, look, you're getting a pretty good reputation, at least on our site, and I know on CEO.ca, of picking off some of these smaller juniors that have some fundamental value to them that clearly aren't being recognized by the market. The company we're going to talk about today mostly is Big Ridge Gold Corp, traded BRAU on the TSX Venture Exchange. Now, the company has some projects spread across Canada, but the focus right now is on this Hopebrook Gold Project in Newfoundland. Now, no doubt that Newfoundland, the general area, has really picked up steam and investor interest. This project is a little bit further away from where we're seeing Newfound and some of the other companies explore, but this project does come with a resource, just short of 1 million ounces in indicated and inferred. The company is going through an earn-in agreement to earn in eventually 80% of this project. Dr. Jones, start us off with what attracted you to Big Ridge Gold initially.
Hey, Corey. Thanks for having me back. Well, it's a really fascinating company. And as you know, Newfoundland has been extremely hot right now. And there's a lot of companies going public and whatnot. But this one, they picked up this option from First Mining, and it comes with a resource already. The resource is about 1 million ounces gross. They can earn into 80%, but the resource was done at 1300 gold. So the cutoff grade is going to be lowered. And just by the nature of that, it'll be about 1 million ounces net to the company. It's also the Hopebrook Gold Project is a past producer. They produced over 700,000 ounces there before. And it's got some really interesting mineralogy, whereas a lot of people don't realize that there's actually some copper also in the ore there. The past producer started with pouring gold bars, but then put in a concentrator and did a copper and gold concentrate, and they were getting credits, some pretty substantial apparently for the copper. So that adds to the project the value that nobody really knows about unless you went back and did the research and dug it up. And the land position there is 26,000 hectares, and there's a lot of targets that were never followed up on before, and there's gaps in this resource which can be drilled out. And the thing is, it's not like narrow high-grade veins. It's moderate grade. It's about 5 grams a ton, but the average mining width there is 20 to 22 meters, which means long-hole stoping, which is really cheap as far as, you know, mining development, you know. And there's also on the property, if you go back to Coastal Gold, who owned it a long time ago, they had put out a feasibility study on doing a heap, doing an open pit operation. So in the current company presentation, they don't talk about any of that. But if you go back and you look at the old resource model, there's open pitable material there that's heap leachable. And there's other targets on the property, these shallow mineralization, where they can drill out and develop, this is my thesis, a couple satellite pits and put together, you know, 500,000 ounces of open pitable material, which gives them a very quick path to cash flow and development, because heap leach operations are very cheap to develop. And that can fund them into feasibility study, expansion of the underground resource, and development of these other targets without dilution to the shareholders. Just to give you an idea, if you go back to Coastal Gold's feasibility study, which is on SEDAR, if you dig it up, they had a within a pit constrained shell at 0.5 grams per ton cutoff, they had 720,000 ounces at an average grade of about 1.3, 1.35 grams per ton. For heap leach, that's amazing, right? Some of that you would lose because it includes the high-grade lens that plunges basically down. But the lower-grade halo, which everything that's below 3 grams per ton that wasn't included in this current resource, you will get a pretty decent open pit resource to go along with it. So my model says that they're going to hit the ground running with about 1.5 million, 1.4 million ounces of gold to start with. And at the current market cap and with all the cash they have on the balance sheet, I think that that's a good risk reward for me. And the fact that they have a resource, it's something that I can define, that I can model and put a value on, versus something that's just pure exploration where you live and die just by the drill bit.
So Doc Jones, what do you think is going to drive this stock then, outside of, I guess, just more investors looking into this company and thinking, wow, the underlying resource and area that it's in deserves a higher valuation? So outside of that re-rate potential, what's the work that the company is planning, either in terms of progressing towards development and actual production, or on that exploration front?
Well, they're gonna be drilling the heck out of this. Like they're just finishing up the private placement that they were doing to ensure acquiring this from First Mining, and that's gonna close in a couple of days. And they just recently hired a geo who actually worked for Coastal before and is very familiar with the project. And if you look at the schematic of the deposit, there's a fault that runs right to the east of it, and it's a slip fault. And so the other half of the deposit has never been defined. You know, there's only a few drill holes on the other side, on the northeast target, and they were not done to the correct depth or in the right area. And there's also, there's like so many targets on this property, shallow and deep ones. Like they have historic grab samples from the northeast that are like 160 some odd grams per ton. And they have lots of gaps to connect these deposits. There's the 240 zone where a lot of high grade was drilled out, and it's open at depth. It's open on the both on the east and the west. There's just a lot of possibilities there, and compared to what peer evaluation wise they. Just to get to a peer evaluation once they're fully diluted with the private placement and whatnot, and when some of the warrants come in that have been coming in, you've got a company that'll have about 90 million shares out, a market cap of about 30 million, I guess, on today's price, with over 12, 13 million in cash. So you're looking at something that's basically valued, if you just say it's only got 1 million ounces, at enterprise value about what, $18 an ounce, and has lots of opportunities to expand that. Like I personally think that they will get to, you know, somewhere north of 2 million ounces pretty quickly with the cash that they have. And then along the way, they'll be re-rated because of that.
So Doc Jones, I understand the potential disconnect here between underlying market value and what the company actually has. But as you said, fully diluted basis, the company is market cap wise of, let's say, 30 million to 35 million Canadian. Through this earn-in agreement with First Mining, the company does need to spend $10 million in the first 3 years of exploration, plus issue 15 million shares to First Mining. And then 2 years after that, so a total of 5 years, another $10 million in exploration expenditures. Do you see any financing risk here for the company because the market cap is so low and because they do have these work commitments, which in all fairness is going to really help move the exploration forward in a very quick manner?
No. Like the thing I like about the option is there's no cash in it, basically, right? It's all exploration dollars. So the money's going to create value, and they have the cash to fund the first 3 years to spend that $10 million to expand these deposits and grow them and find out whether or not is this going to be 2, 3, or more million ounces or not. So I don't really see a lot of risk there. And once they answer that unanswered question with the capital they have, if they answer it positively, then the stock is going to re-rate quite drastically. And so for them to continue with the option, it's not going to be hard to raise the capital needed to do that, because your share price will reflect the success, and therefore it's less dilution along the way.
Hey, fair enough. As long as they keep on hitting, or as long as they do hit on the exploration, look, they are going to spend a lot of money on exploration, and that can drive value. Any of the targets that you're most excited about here, Doc Jones? Because as much as this could be a small-scale startup mine, it really sounds like, and what the company has to do here is spend money on exploration. So the exploration could really drive the story. What are you excited about in terms of some of their targets?
Well, I think near term, they're going to focus on expanding the deposit versus going to some of the targets on other areas in the property. The 240 zone is a really highly productive zone, great grades and widths. And it's open basically on all sides. Well, on three sides, because mineralization runs a certain way. And they've got, if you go and look at the company's presentation, you'll see what I mean. Like so I'm excited about that, I guess. You know, I'm excited for them to get onto the property finally and close the private placement and start putting some news out there. Like I did talk to the CEO for about an hour a couple of days ago, and they are looking into some of these other avenues that are not commonly known. Like, for instance, the copper, because if you go to Coastal Gold's, the original owners of the property, they're 43-101 and whatnot, they list in there. You can see property-wide where they've done lots of sampling, and they're getting copper grades that are, you know, anywhere from 0.2% up to 2-3% per ton. You know, it's not going to be the main thing, obviously, but it's also something that creates value, because if you get 10 pounds of copper, 10 or 20 pounds of copper per ton, along with the gold, you know, that's like half a gram of gold. You know, that ups the economics considerably, half a gram to a gram of gold equivalent, right? So that's one thing, and also there's the Chadwick prospect that's on the property. It's just a little bit west of the 240 zone, and it's at surface mineralization. So I'm interested in for them to do some shallow drilling there, just to see if the prospect of doing a small open pit heap leach operation initially is feasible or not. Because if that is feasible, that's going to really change things drastically for the company as far as their cash flow possibilities in the future. Because they could do something like Anaconda, where they have a small operation that's going to fund the company for years and years and years while they keep expanding. And then once you, if you're producing, then you get a different multiple too, right? Because you can go by a cash flow multiple. I think they've filed for 10,000 meters of drilling initially. You'd have to check with the CEO. They haven't made anything public yet. I'm just going by what I've researched through some public records of, you know, permit filing and stuff, if you have those type of back channels to research things.
Well, hey, Doc Jones, there's no doubt that the primary driver here is going to be not just the move into development potentially down the road for the Hope Brook project, but also the ability to fill in some of the old resources, the ability to grow organically if they do pursue that open mm-hmm. pit strategy at surface, and then go use that to fund the underground. But they also have two other projects I want to get into briefly that are secondary projects, but they are value drivers for the company. Mm-hmm. One of them is the Oxford Gold Project, which is in Manitoba. And the other project is now been optioned off to a company. It's the Destiny Gold Project. And that has been optioned off to a company called Clarity Gold. Could you update us quickly on those two projects and how they may bring in some secondary value to the company?
Oh, yeah. Well, with the Destiny option, there's a cash portion to that. So this November, Big Ridge will get $750,000 cash from that company, as well as another $1 million worth of shares. So including that, they will have about $2 million worth of shares in that company, and that's publicly traded. It's something else that can be monetized that adds to the intrinsic value of the company. And then the Oxford Gold property in Manitoba is really interesting. It's this huge land package, like 36,000 hectares, and there's only been a bit of drilling there. And previously, in an area that was drilled, it's like 300 meters by 300 meters and like 10 meters wide. They put together 150,000 ounces at 6 grams per ton, but it has been drilled along strike to 800 meters, another 500 meters, but because the density isn't there, it couldn't be included in the resource, but they hit mineralization, the same type of mineralization and gold values along there. So it's on the back burner right now because they're focusing on the Hope Brook. But that's something that will come into play, I see, in like 2023, probably more like 2023, but something like that it's definitely got the legs to, it's in the neighborhood where there's these monster deposits, right? And it's high grade, and it's a banded iron formation. Those things tend to produce these really large deposits, so that's something I like too. And that also, either they end up developing it and drilling that and putting together a resource there, or maybe they do what they've done with the Destiny, where they drop it down into some other vehicle and take cash and shares for it, you know? So, you know, the bottom line is, I look at it, you've got a company, say market cap, 30, 35 million, fully diluted. About half the value of the company is cash, for the most part, with maybe, you know, 2 million of that is shares in other companies, but primarily it's all cash. It really mitigates my risk, you know, because there's no financing risk for the next year. They got enough money to drill probably, 20, 30,000 meters at least. You know, they have got the money to satisfy the first 3 years of the option. So it's a risk that I'm willing to take.
Well, Doc Jones, it's definitely an exciting story. I appreciate you helping break it to our audience and break down some of the value drivers that you see and why you're interested in the story. I would probably have some angry people if we didn't at least also update everybody on what you're looking at with Emrita Resources Corp, EMO, on the Venture Exchange, because you have done a lot of articles, I think about 9 or 10 articles, some podcasts, a lot of work researching this company. It's had quite a big move, and there's been some big news out this week. So just real quickly before we wrap up, give us the Emrita Resources update.
Oh, it was great. Like on the 23rd, that night in Spain, and some news is coming out about the court case. And then on the 24th, Emerita put out an official release. And basically what the courts have done is they have upgraded the charges against the bad actors in the tender. They've been in a tender dispute over the Anacolla land package for 6 years now. So the charges have been upgraded to include jail time, as well as the accused have gone from 7 people to 14 people. And I'll read you this. Basically, for me, it says 99% chance they're going to get the tender. And the courts have said that there's no more evidence can be presented. There's no more appeals to delay the process, and they're going to rule on this. And the tender law, the way the tender's law works there is, if there's a crime committed, that company's automatically disqualified. And the only other company that qualified for the second round was Emerita Resources. So they will get the tender, right? As well, the courts have said specifically that the other company should have never advanced to the second round, because that other company that is a subsidiary of Grupo Mexico did not complete the work necessary technically to advance to the second round. That's why some people are being charged, right, with influence peddling, with bribery. So it's very, very exciting, because that land package, since we last talked, has gone from 3 deposits to 5. There's 2 more historic deposits, which adds another 14 million tons. So project-wide, historical resources, not 43-101 compliant, but it was drilled out by Bodolin and other people, so it's high confidence. 85 million tons, valued at about $27 billion US. Combine that with Hyperion Belt West, their other property, which has 7 billion. You're looking at like 35 billion of historic resource that's high grade. If you do like a Sprott equity analysis, what they use, their model, they use a 5% in situ value to come up with the market cap of a company. You get a company that's market cap should be about 1.7 billion US. That's over 2 billion Canadian. That's like $10 a share. The upside then is what, eight to 10 times from here as a starting point. And all those deposits are open. And then Amerita just did a financing that came out just today. It was a bought deal. It's all institutional money. It was sold out in hours. The stock is up on it. It works out to be fully diluted, about a 13% dilution, and it leaves the company on a fully diluted basis with $42 million, enough money for them. And the CEO was talking about this today on a YouTube interview, that they're fully funded to drill out the Hyperion Belt West and do the feasibility study. Now, if you want to compare that to Masta, which is on the auction block right now, comparable to Hyperion Belt West, Masta has lower tonnage, lower grade, and Trafigura is selling it for $2 billion. So just Hyperion Belt West, comp to a neighbor, should be $2 billion. Not even thinking about the Anna Collier land package. So yeah, it's very exciting, and you can see that the stock is reacting to it, and it's really, really coming together. My thesis is being proved. I'm quite happy about that.
All right, Doc Jones, great chatting with you. Thank you for the insights in both of these companies, but really that dive into Big Ridge Gold. We're going to follow up with the company possibly for a little bit down the road, but either way, if anybody has any insights into Big Ridge Gold or even Amerita or wants Doc Jones to address any of your questions, please just email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. Doc Jones, thanks as always for your time. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, thank you, Corey. You as well. And thank you, Shade.